Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best.
Hello, and welcome to The Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards. And here we are again. We are in our Summer of Sex series. And today we're going to explore the world of sexuality and connection and relationships with some mushrooms and microdosing therapy around it. So if you're curious about it or if you're experienced, we're going to have something for everybody. So I'm so excited to delve into this today with our guest, who is my close friend. And I'm just excited that you're here too, because we are always here to find those next steps to grow and expand and make life as abundant and incredible as we can in the next moment, in the next moment, in the next moment. That's the idea. So that's why we're here. So I'm thrilled that you're here. Share it with a friend if you think of something during this, or like, I think those are just the magical moments that we have to expand when we start these conversations with other people. So, and when somebody pops in your head, that something's happening. It's not just like, oh, I'm just randomly thinking of them. That's no, I've discovered that means something. So it's an invitation to open up a little bit more. So let's get going. I am so excited today to welcome you, Bijou, my very good friend, my dear soul sister, Bijou Finney, AKA the Mushroom Mamacita. She's a psychedelic coach and integration alchemist and specializes in visionary life design for any conscious person, entrepreneur, or anyone that is exploring it in their lives and they want to do exactly what we were just talking about, come more alive. How's that, Bijou? Does that sound good?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm so excited that we're doing this because I think this is such a perfect complement to all the things that we've been talking about, exploring growth in our lives and how sexuality can be such a catalyst for growth, and how if we push there, it expands in other ways. And I think that psychedelics are something that we haven't really touched on yet. And right before we got on here, we were talking about, you know, your own path and what that's looked like and what you've learned and wish that people knew about sexual connection in relationships and when they're on their own healing journey. So that's a long-winded way to say, like, what's going on with you? Yeah.
What's up?
What's up? That's how we say what's up.
In the Amy land. I just love so much that I'm here talking to you, because the last time I was on your show, I was really coming out as Mushroom Mamacita, as sex, love, and psychedelics world. And so it's really cool. What, 2 years, 3 years later? How long has it been? Where?
Yeah, I think it's been two. Okay. Or not quite two.
Okay, cool. So yeah, to be able to then say, I've learned a lot in my own journey and with helping lots of a lot of clients, and excited about sharing what I wish people understood about the fact that when you grow and when you expand and when you heal, especially through the use of psychedelics, that your relationship, it will be affected, right? And so it's kind of like even more so with psychedelics, just because they kind of fast track healing so much, or they happen so deeply and profoundly so quickly that for your relationship to hold that can be a lot. So yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about that and what the last 2 years have been like for me.
Yeah, because I think you're speaking from experience right there. And I mean, I totally get it. Like when you do that, and so in that 2 years that you've really like come out and embrace this growth, like, you know, your own relationship has taken a turn. And I think that, you know, you sent me a few ideas around what we were going to talk about today. And you were like, what does it mean when a relationship coach, you know, has her relationship change? And so speak to that for a minute. And I personally, I think it's natural. Like, you know, you're doing the work and growing, and sometimes those things just happen.
Yeah, it was interesting to me because I started noticing I was looking up to a lot of sex, love, and relationship coaches and therapists, and it feels like it's half and half. There are some that are in these really big relationships, and then the rest of them are all single. So I was like, what is that? What is it that, like, once you know how the sausage is made, it's really hard to eat it? I don't know. It was interesting to me, but I think it comes down to the fact that, similar to a business coach, right? Like, would you want a business coach that doesn't have a couple failed businesses? You learn so much in the quote unquote failures that when you're hearing it maybe here first, that Drew and I decided to end our relationship after 5 years. And there was like a lot of shame around that for me. Like, how can I not make my own relationship work when I'm helping so many other people keep their relationships alive? And I think it's the healing and the wisdom that came from me asking myself that question and looking into it, which is like, we've worked pretty hard and we've had a lot of very deep and healing conversations, and so much changes when you heal and grow, and the trauma bonds and the fantasy bonds and all the things that come up to the surface and get healed and make it hard to stay connected afterwards, and you finding your authentic self, and is that still in alignment with that person, and do you guys have the same desires? All of those things. It's just so complicated and so nuanced. And so yeah, it was interesting for me to work through that, but I've really come to terms in peace with the fact that this whole relationship with him and this whole experience with him has given so much to my life and so much to my career and so much to my wisdom. And I owe so much to that relationship. And it was literally the best thing that's ever happened to me up until this point in my life.
Well, I totally agree with that. And I think that there's like an invitation in there to say, like, why are we all, you know, but adhering to this like so-called rule that it didn't work? Like, maybe it did work, and you know, maybe it's not failed, you know. Like, I think this is partly because I've had to do so much self-work being divorced twice, and I never even thought I'd be divorced once, and really no one in my family was divorced except, you know, sort of a black sheep uncle. But yeah, like, maybe it did work, you know. You can't say didn't work. Like, it did work. Listen to what you just said. So it did work. And like, I don't know, I just think that, you know, maybe it was exactly what it's supposed to be, and it's not failed at all. Maybe it was a total success.
It was absolutely what it was meant to be. And it's the safe place that it gave me to soften and to open and to feel like I had the space to heal. Like, without that, I would have never had the experience that I had. And I honestly really do believe in karmic contracts, and people come into your life for seasons and they do so much for your life. And it doesn't mean that, even though we romanticize and fantasize about that forever love, that it doesn't mean that it wasn't incredibly important and impactful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about what you learned and how you're applying that, like helping other people.
Yeah. So one, there's so much to this, because it's like all of your demons and shadows and inner child and higher self, and all of their demons and shadows and higher self. And then also the container that it's in. So like, for instance, we had a pretty intense incubator on our relationship in the sense that we moved from a place that I truly identified with. My identity was wrapped up in it. Leaving Austin after 15 years and traveling out into the middle of nowhere where you can't run and hide from your relationship and what needs to be worked on out in the middle of nowhere. And there was the pandemic. And then I started my big like psychedelic healing journey, and that brought up a bunch of stuff. So then all of my interests changed. My hormones changed because I felt like birth control was no longer in alignment with who I was. And like, And all the things that we used to connect on and the way that I used to be and this like really hard hitter go-getter that he fell in love with, that needed to take a break for a minute. And so like completely shifting all of that and what that does to your relationship is nuts. Not to mention we were both starting our own businesses at the time. And so if you think about the amount of weight that we have on all of our relationships at any given moment, it's kind of amazing that they are able to stick around and that people are able to self-actualize and heal and do normal life while they're also in a relationship with someone else.
Oh my God, totally. Totally. And I mean, you know, I think that there was like an accelerated path, like for sure, when you have any relationship that was in the pandemic almost, you know, like it was like hitting the gas on it. So you actually got probably, say, 5 years. That was probably like, I mean, in pandemic time, that's like, you know, an extra few years in there.
Oh, and then you add psychedelics.
Add like psychedelics 10. And your farm. Add your farm. So add isolated environment. So then like it's off the charts. You were there. You were together for like 12 years.
Seriously. And I mean, normal relationships, especially if you're not hiding in them, you're actually trying to expand and heal in them. They are intense. All of your shadows, all of your triggers, all of your deep, dark secrets, all of those come up to be witnessed and to be worked on. And it's intense.
It is. But you both got to be in it. So, I mean, I imagine that's one of the things that you learn most of all is that you've got to be both willing to, you know, show up and like go, okay, we're growing then, right? And I'll do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because there's this component of, I think it's even harder when it's like a sex, love, and relationship or psychedelic person, because when you want to bring those things into your relationship, they're almost a little bit demonized in the sense like, oh, that's the reason why you changed. That's the reason why you're busy all the time. Like, those are your things. And so it can be hard for the other person to really be open to a lot of those things. And I see that in some of my clients, too, where the women are doing a lot of the work and they're really healing and they're really trying to understand themselves. And then they're not into drinking anymore. They're not into sports anymore. They're not into a lot of the things that they used to do together. And also they're calling their husbands up. They're like, hey, I want you to like heal and build with me. And like, let's manifest together. And I can understand, since I work with a lot of the men too, is they feel very left behind. They feel like it's a very foreign concept. They don't love the idea of all this change. And they're like, can't we just stay in the comfort of like how we used to be? And yeah, it can be really hard on the relationship.
I heard a quote once that was like, when a man and a woman go into a relationship, she goes in thinking he will change and he goes in thinking she'll never change. And like, you know, it's just that's, which is kind of what you're expressing too, if you're talking about women doing the work, you know. And it really does call people higher, because I think even when my first marriage, when both my marriages were splitting up, there was ample opportunities to save those. And like to say, I am ready for more growth. And that's what I was saying. And then, you know, I was like, this is an opportunity to step up. And, you know, they weren't taking it. And so when that doesn't happen, you're like, I can't not, you know, I'm already on this path. Like, I can't not. Eyes are already open. Is that how you felt?
Yeah. I mean, especially for women, because whether we're people pleasers or we don't mean to or we don't know ourselves, we show up in a way that helps the other person love us. It's like a survival mechanism. I definitely was what I thought Drew wanted me to be. I was what I thought a lot of people wanted me to be. And when I really started coming online and understanding myself and being more authentic and in love with myself, I started being like ridiculous and audacious and like outside of the box that I had been in. And that's like, it wasn't a manipulative thing. It's not like I was not being honest and I did know who I was from the beginning. It was that I found myself along the way. And it's okay to say, hey, is this still okay? Like, do you still like this? And it's okay for them to be like, I did not sign up for that. No, like that's not my cup of tea. And to then be able to go, that's fair.
Yeah. Although you were always a little ridiculous and audacious. I've known you since 2013 and you were. Like that's not brand new. That was not a huge surprise.
Okay? That wasn't false marketing or
no.
Advertising. Yeah.
Not at all. At least not to me. I don't think so. Like I was like, that's part of why we're friends. So, okay. So one of the things that you mentioned was hiding in relationships. And so like, I think that's when you stay in that status quo, right? And I just read something the other day, Kim Anami wrote it, and she was just talking about conscious monogamy versus like whatever isn't. And she said something about, you know, how so many relationships act like they're monogamy, but they're not really being honest. And I think that's that like hiding thing. Like you're just like not really, like it's all there. It's just not being dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people that I work with in like life design that assume that they can't have the job that they want. They can't rock the boat the way that they want. They can't ask for their relationship to be a certain way. They can't ask for more support from the people around them. And then there are men especially that are like, let me just do what she says and keep my head down and like not fight and keep the peace. And even though I'm unhappy and bored and sad, I'm not going to rock the boat, right? And so it's this weird feeling of, yeah, there's stability in mood and in routine, but are y'all happy, right? Are you breaking it apart sometimes and reevaluating it and rebuilding it? And it's hard with kids and it's hard with a full-time job. I wish that us as humans understood that our full-time job could be like, who are we and what is our relationship? And other things are kind of just money makers or maybe passions. But yeah, it's kind of like I see so many people hiding in monotony or hiding in comfort or hiding in smallness because that's the known. And it's okay to stay there because they understand it, even though they don't understand why they're anxious and depressed and feeling like there's something else out there that they're supposed to be tapping into or addressing.
And that's what that's where I think a lot of microdosing comes in, right?
Yeah, I mean, psychedelics in general. So like,
yeah,
microdosing is nice because it's a consistent way to stay soft. I think especially for women, we get so hardened because of all the stress that we're around and under. And so to stay soft and to stay authentic and to process our emotions and to ask our partner to hold that for us is a really beautiful part of microdosing. But also big trips. Big trips break apart your idea of who you are and allow you to kind of repattern and re-put yourself together in a new way now that you're in a safer environment, now that you can make choices, now that you might understand a little bit about who you are and what you like. And it's hard on the relationship, but if you're conscious about it and you involve your partner and you kind of set yourself up for success rather than just bulldozing through it like I did, you can have a little bit more of a successful time. But also to understand that if it breaks your relationship, it was meant to, right? Like if it strengthens it, it strengthens it. And if it breaks it, it breaks it. And you have to trust in the universe and trust that you being authentically yourself is why you're here on the planet, and that when you make the space in the world, in your life for that, you will be happier. You will be more expressed. You will feel like you're living your life to the fullest, and you'll find the people that are going to appreciate that.
Yeah. And two, I think it can help you if it does fall apart. It can help you with that grieving process. Have you experienced that?
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely had such incredibly healing conversations since we've kind of been under the same house, like, or under the same roof while we've been working through this. And yeah, I mean, the grief, the processing of the grief, the processing of not having the story that you thought you were going to have, or the fact, the fear that comes with, like, starting over and coming up with what new might be, and the fear of, like, going back out into the world and having to, like, date and talk to people, all of that. Like, I really processed a lot of my emotions about that over the last, I would say, like, 6-7 months.
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure, with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the Cervix Wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com. That's W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the Red Light Face Mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones, so you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing, and I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night, and I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin, and I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Were you nervous with your line of work telling people that you guys broke up?
No, not with majority of my clients, because I was in our sessions, I was telling them you got to step up. You got to stand up for yourself. You have to ask for what you need. And I had to follow suit. I had to walk the walk. And so, like, if I didn't, then I was a fraud, right? And I was just telling people to do the hard thing, and then I wasn't doing it. And so it was actually pretty cool, because I would be able to tell them, I'm scared, this is hard, but I'm standing up for myself and I'm asking for what I want. And I'm also processing the fact that someone's deciding not to want to do that with me, and that doesn't say anything about me, right? And then like working through that with a lot of them, like some of them, their relationships are better than ever, and others have decided to end their marriages and to decide what their lives look like, and to have that camaraderie and to have that support has been really cool. So yeah, I mean, with my clients that know me and that we get to have these super intimate conversations, no, but it's just the outside world of, like, especially I feel like a lot of my friends and family members were idolizing our relationship just because it was so beautiful in the beginning and for most of it, honestly, and they just wanted that for me. And so it was harder for them sometimes when I was explaining what was going on, because it almost popped a bubble in their head. I even had a friend say, like, dang, you guys were that inspiration proof that I could have that, and when it's not working, that really makes me feel like shit. I'm like,
I've said that to people. Like, I've both said that and had that said to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, so like to the outside world, it's hard, but I also know, like, I know inside that I gotta do what's right for me, and ever since I've come to terms with it, so much weight has been lifted from my heart and my mind and my life. And it also makes space. It makes space for the person or the experiences that I know that I desire.
Ooh, what is that?
So that's the thing, is like, one of the things that I really appreciate about Drew is that he is a go-getter. He is goal-oriented. He is a builder, and he does want a big, bold, beautiful life. It's, I think, the spirituality or the softness or something that is like a little bit outside of what I think that he desires is something that I would like. I know that there's a lot of like the woo culture or the spirituality culture that's very triggering to him. And so I don't know if he totally gives it a chance yet. Maybe he will in the future. But I desire someone that is like really focused on becoming their best version and not afraid to do a lot of the healing work and the shadow work and having those hard conversations and being mirrors to each other and going toe-to-toe. Not to say that he wasn't like that a lot of times, but there's just there's this deviation in who I was that was really aligned with who he was when we were first together. And now I'm like very much different in a lot of ways. And I feel like that resonates better with like a different type of personality.
Yeah, I mean, probably so. It must, right? Because here you are. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So you mentioned that's some of the things, right? You mentioned some of the things that can really affect your relationship when you start doing this work. And I think let's just touch on sexuality since it's our summer of sex. Like, what do you see change there when you're doing this work?
So there's this level of safety that needs to be built when someone decides to want to deepen in their sexual and romantic world. So for instance, let's bring it back to psychedelic work. In psychedelic work, I found how disconnected from my body I was, how much trauma I was storing in there, and the fact that I wasn't really understanding what I wanted. And I'd never given it to myself. I had never asked for it. And so there was a big time where I had to go into myself, and it was like a What is self-pleasure to me? What is pleasure to me? What is in the way of the pleasure that exists in my body? And how do I process that out? And that's a lot of solo work that can make your partner feel like, remember me? And so it's kind of like having the conversation of, I need space and time to figure out what's right for me. And especially with psychedelics, some sexual trauma can come up, and just things in general that you, until you can hold them in your body, you don't stand a chance holding that in a relationship or in a sexual experience with your partner. And so it's this slow moving, intense, beautiful experience that your partner has to be willing to fold. And it could be like processing emotion. It could be abstaining from sex for a little while. It could be trying things that they're not comfortable with that you are really turned on by now. And so there's just so much to finding yourself and going into your body and into your subconscious, especially with psychedelics, to then come out and be like, yo, I need this, 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 and this. Are you cool with that? And it's like a lot for a relationship. So I would say communication, especially, and the space. Because there's like so many couples that I work with where I get to talk to the man and the woman. And I love this work so much because it really helps me have empathy for men where I didn't. And there's this other side of the coin that I really, really appreciate. That's like they feel abandoned. They feel not wanted. They feel like they're not getting what they want. And it's the other side of the coin that's like, I'm exhausted. My body's different after kids. I've never even been that into sex because I've never even enjoyed it that much, if I'm honest with you, right? And so like, will you give me the time to let me meet my body again? And will you give me the time to find what I love? And then will you play with that with me? And will we both take the time? Because that's the biggest thing, is that it feels mammoth. It feels like one of the biggest things in our lives. And so we just want to leave it on the shelf and like let it be the elephant in the room. But like tackling that bite by bite and saying every Wednesday night, we're going to do something, or we're going to have constant communication for a month that is very intimate and vulnerable before we start getting into like what sexuality looks like for us. And the permission of let's figure out this out together, and let's allow it to be something completely outside of our norm and what we've always done. And a lot of that can be really unsettling and scary and a lot for people to try to do together.
Do you tell people to take microdoses when they do that?
I love when one couple start microdosing together, because this, like I said, the softness that comes and the bonding that happens. And then definitely once they're both like allowing some stuff to come up, I like them to do a tea experience where it's like maybe a little bit more. So maybe it's like a gram or two. And in that time, it could just be holding each other and processing emotion or having a very deep and intimate conversation. Those like open the gateways to them going deeper with each other and seeing each other again, because there's so much projection and pain and hurt from the past years that are layered on top of themselves and each other that they really just get to strip away in those moments. And then, yeah, like consistent psychedelic work with couples, microdosing together, doing bigger experiences together. Yeah, I've devoted my life to that. So I really believe that it works.
I mean, this relationship I'm in is the only one that I've done that in a really conscious way, like to be closer and things like that back before he, you know, went to treatment. But it, I feel like it opened us up in ways that have really served us really well. Like it set a really good foundation rather than not doing it, you know? So I agree. I think it can be really, really beneficial, and I'm all for it, Beej. So, you know, if somebody's single though, I think that you can like you were saying, doing that work by yourself, right? Like, I feel like I feel like I definitely did microdoses and pleasure practice and that kind of thing, and it served me really well.
If I remember correctly, right after that, you met Justin.
I think so, yeah.
I love sex magic because it really helps you, one, move out any of the limiting beliefs and blocks and fears that you have about opening and being seen by someone. And you can do that deeper work by yourself when you're single without like worrying about the other person being next to you in the bed, or you have to worry around their schedules and like their energy. And so, yeah, I would say doing a lot of your own work and making sure that you're primed and ready to be in a relationship if that's what you desire, really sets you up for success, especially if you find someone that's open to doing the work or has done a lot of their own work as well before you guys go deeper with each other and trying to understand what you want, what you're trying to accomplish, and what you're trying to feel within a relationship. There's a lot of women that I work with now that have done an extraordinary amount of work, like the work, self-work, and they're like, I'm all better. I am like so powerful and amazing and wonderful and beautiful and in love with myself. And I'm like, awesome. The triggers that you think that are gone are going to come back up in a relationship. And you got to prepare yourself for that, because it just means you're actually going to be able to address them within relationship, within a relational container, because it's always relational trauma that can't really be healed until you're in relation with others. And that could be friendship. That can be business partnership. That could be like relationship, like marriage or boyfriend, girlfriend. But yeah, it's really interesting to witness from the outside. I get such a more intimate view than I ever have in my life now that I do this work. And humans are just such interesting animals. I just love it so much.
I mean, that's why it's a practice. You know, why don't we have a term for like relationships as practice, you know, like your yoga practice or your pleasure practice? Like, it's an ongoing thing. So relationships, we don't have that. We don't have like a term where it's like an ongoing practice, and you should invent that.
Thank you for that, because that's the biggest expectation flaw is people are like, why isn't this storybook? Like, why isn't
I checked the box? Yeah. Right. We got married. No, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, no. Like your business and your relationship and then you as a parent, those three containers are the biggest expanding, like healing, triggering containers that you could ever put yourself through. And it's Earth School and you signed up for this and you got to go through the curriculum and you have to heal the things you've been trying to heal for lifetimes. And it is a constant practice. So, yeah, I think that's the thing, is that people are like, why are we struggling right now? And it's like, it's midterms. Like, it's really hard. You're supposed to be like doubling down at this time, not pulling away. And it's just so easy for us to kind of pull away in those moments.
Yeah. And exactly. And I don't think it's a matter of even it be getting healed, like us expecting the end to be like, okay, now that is healed. You know, like even when you're calling it a practice, like instead it's just, how quickly can you come back to like, ah, there's that, and here's how I can, you know, turn that around to either reframe it or to step up for my partner or to put those things in practice. Like, oh yeah, I'm not here to fix it. I'm not here, you know, whatever codependent tendencies or whatever tendencies you've got, you know, it's like, how fast can you put those in practice? Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, I mean, I love the design of the universe. It's like we have an infinite number of things that we could work on and heal. And it's like a video game to me, where maybe my attachment wound is a big gaping sore in level one, and then it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then when I really up level with my partner and we go into this whole new realm of like being big and out there and accelerated and successful, it's going to blast right open again, because now it's like a whole nother ball game, right? And then I'm going to have to heal that again in a different way. And it's just really cool to know that we all have these things that are never, like you said, going to heal fully, but they are going to get easier. We are going to get stronger. Yeah. And we are going to be able to get through them in a really beautiful way. And that's the peace and the bliss and the sensuality and excitement and happiness that comes from actually doing the work.
Big time. Big time. Yes. Do you ever meet people that are like that, that you can tell they think they've got it all figured out?
No, I mean, thank goodness that like most of the people coming to me are like either at a really low point and they're like, it can't.
I don't need anything for yours.
Yeah. And it's like, I love those people because they are really go-getters. They really try because they're sick of being at rock bottom. They've actually been there.
I've been that person with you several times.
Or it's the other type of people that are like really, really go-getters and they're committed to their work. And like, even though they feel really good about where they've come from and what they've done for themselves, it's like the masters never believe they're the masters. They know that they are constantly going to be growing and evolving and learning. And I just love people like that. So yeah, it's like a mix of the two, but I've definitely seen them on social media and at like in-person events sometimes where it's like, you know, you don't have to act like you have it all figured out for people to come to you for support. Like, just because maybe I'm like a step further than someone that I work with, or maybe I'm right alongside them, it doesn't discredit the amount of love and support and attention that I give them while they're on their journey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, too, about, like, when you encounter somebody that, you know, is, like, putting it out there as if they've got it figured out. I think it's just because I've encountered someone that I'm perceiving that from, and I'm just, like, it's an exercise for me not to judge. It's an exercise. Like, I'm trying to put it back on myself, like, oh, what am I supposed to be learning in this instance, you know? And so that's like, we're all doing the best we can with what, with the tools we've got at the moment. So I think that's why I asked that, you know?
I've definitely had some people that were like, I don't understand this. I don't get it. And you can tell that they're like, it's very fear-based, but they would rather be like, this is dumb. This isn't for me. And it's like, you're the person that it's exactly for. And, it's kind of like, it's that ego keeping you safe, making you feel like you have it figured out, or that something can't help you, or that there's got to be something else out there, when really you just need to like pull up your bootstraps and like do the work.
Yeah. So I guess feeling safe is one of the first steps in really letting all this come up and out.
Yeah, I mean, I would say safety is, I don't know how many times I've said that word at this point in my work, but it's like the first layer of safety is where a lot of the shit comes up. So be prepared. Like when you decide to sign up to do the work, whether it's a healing modality, a book, a program, working with psychedelics, when you feel safe, a bunch of stuff is going to come up. And so people are like, why is this happening? I'm in the best relationship and I have a home and I'm away from my abusive ex or parents or bad job. And I'm finally in a good place. Like, why is all of this pain and grief coming up? And it's like, because your body's been holding it for you that whole time when you're in fight or flight. And now that you're in a more like restful and peaceful state and happy state, it's like, can we address this now? Can we process this now? And so that can be very confusing to people. But I would say that there's definitely this layer of, okay, I'm in a safe environment, in a safe relationship, and a good part in my life where I'm ready to start doing the work. But then there's also the layer of, can I give myself a sense of safety? Can my inner masculine make my inner feminine feel safe and held so that she can blossom open? And can I trust my inner masculine enough to trust the outer masculine that might be my partner to also hold me and make me feel safe? And it's like the same with men and women. They don't feel safe with each other. And that's mm-hmm. why women feel so alone, because their partners won't talk to them because they don't feel safe to be vulnerable. And then the women get really in this like hyper-masculine state of I'm going to handle everything and I'm going to do everything, which then really triggers the masculine and their partner to then either give up or go into beta or like be resentful. And there's this like comes down to safety. Safety is this ultimate thing. And I feel like nervous system regulation and emotional regulation and communication are these incredible tools that people need to utilize in their relationships to develop that safety, to allow the stuff to come up. And it's just wild to me that people are like, I don't give time for my emotion state process. I don't give them a safe space, a container and moment. And I microdose my rage on people rather than letting it out in a bigger way in a controlled environment where it's appropriate, right? And so I would say that that's one of the biggest things that I'm trying to help people with is like, can you do it by yourself to develop your own sense of safety, to trust your power, to see your rage, to see your grief, to accept those things? And then can you also let your partner witness you in them and allow them to hold you in them? And when that happens, that's when communication and sex and just everything gets better. It's like all of that needs to happen first is what I'm noticing.
Totally. Oh, that was so good. Yes. And there's so much about like just... I think one of my biggest things that I just keep learning is just to let go. Like, it just be in this moment, you know? And like, there's all these little things that we can hold on to. And I think microdosing has really helped me with that too. It's just being more present and being able to just keep opening my hand. Justin was in the ice bath yesterday and he had his hands clenched and he got out and he was like, I had my hands clenched in there and it was so hard. And he goes, and so I just relaxed my hands. And he was like, and I was like, it was easier. And he goes, yeah, it was so much easier. And I was like, well, isn't that just a metaphor for life? He goes, it hurt more. It hurt more with the cold, but it was easier. And I was like, that's what it's all about right there. You know, just for me, it's just this constant letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it,
do you relate?
It's so good. I mean, I think that's where big doses of psychedelics really help, which is this huge fear of death, this huge fear of loss of control. Like, so much can come out of your life when you address those things. And so I see a lot with my clients is that they are so afraid of dying that they're not living, and they're so afraid of losing control and not being safe that they don't even allow anyone to help them feel safe, or they don't even give themselves the space and time to feel safe and to relax into the moment. They're just still gripped in this, like, if I'm in this fight stance, if I'm always hypervigilant, then you're not going to get it over on me. And it's like, you're not supposed to be like that all of the time. And so that's the thing with like ice baths and breath work and grounding and microdosing. All of those things are coming back to how can I regulate my nervous system? Because I can't have a good conversation with you about my triggers when my nervous system is not regulated. And I can't get true growth and expansion. And that's kind of what I loved about the conversations that I've had with Drew lately, is that we've really made peace with the fact that we don't have control over this relationship anymore. I can't control him to try to turn him into the man I want him to be because we're no longer in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so the space in our conversations now and the empathy that we have for each other and the you're going to do you and I'm just going to let you know how it makes me feel in a really respectful and kind way. It was not easy to do when I was trying to control like the relationship or who he was and then vice versa. So yeah, it's like, wow, wish we had figured this out whenever we were at this all together.
Well, it's such a paradox. That's why, you know, like you don't think like that when you're in it. You're like, no, I'm in this and no, I have to make it work. You know, like we were talking about earlier, like I have to do something. I can't just like relax my hand. Like, let go, like, not control you. It's just like, it's such a fucking cliche. you know, like if you love something, let it go. But it's true. It's just true. I like that you used that term microdosing anger. Like that's like the other side of the coin of microdosing. Like people are expressing negative emotions in microaggression doses. I haven't thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Is like the anxiety and the depression and the sadness that people are like dealing with on a low level all of the time are like letting out in little spurts. Like, you know, that analogy of holding the beach ball underwater. And then once you can't hold it anymore, it pops up. Like that's the rage, rather than if I like say, hey, I need you to take the kids for a minute and for like a couple hours, and I'm going to hit my bed with a bat and scream my head off and let rage out of my system and let grief out of my system. Like we should be doing that. We should be processing, kind of like I tell people, mushrooms, microdosing mushrooms allows little bits to come up at a time. It chips away at that ice block around your heart like an ice pick would. And a big dose is like a sledgehammer. And that's like that big, like big somatic release, big emotional release, big come to Jesus almost. And so it's like both of them are valid. And especially with a really busy life, that microdosing is more appropriate. But that's when we end up microdosing rage. And that's when we end up like having these little spurts of the way that it becomes our personality. It definitely became mine. Like whenever I wasn't processing my rage and my grief, it was coming up so frequently in every little moment that it could, that it was like, is that who I am? And it's like, no, that's not my freaking personality. That's not who I authentically am inside. This is me not being accountable with my emotions and with my nervous system. And I'm just letting my nervous system get so raw that it's letting this like rage that has been building my whole life out in these very inappropriate moments that really hurt my relationships in every way.
I've totally done it even just recently, you know, when I was going through a hard time just recently. And which you helped me a lot through, but I had a day where like I totally yelled at Justin out of the blue. Like he said something and I yelled at him. And later I was like, whoa, I had to really apologize for that one. Cause I was like, wow, well, I've got some like stuff going on that I need to deal with. And I haven't done like what you're talking about, like go beat the bed with a bat and scream and stuff. I've never even done like scream therapy or anything like that. I don't even know if I've screamed off of a, you know, cliff or anything. I probably shouldn't do that. Do you do a lot of that? Do you go in the woods there and scream?
I really love the screaming into a pillow just because I don't like scaring animals.
Somebody might think you're being murdered or something.
Yeah.
You know, cry wolf. I don't know. You know, like save it for if you needed it in the woods.
It's so fun. I mean, in some of our wild roots retreats, like we've screamed into the fire, like the things that we've been mad about and we've been witnessed in it. And that with the fire element and like the other women being there and you like ugly face, like ugly tone, just like being as rageful and nasty as you can is just so awesome. And yeah, I even have this little bat because big bats are hard for me. And I have these little bats and I'll post about them at one point. But I just like hit my bed with them when I'm really mad. And it helps like release that energy out of my system. And it feels really good. And I end up crying or I end up like ideas about why I'm mad that I wasn't even aware of will pop up. And it's just so healing. So yeah, I'm a big proponent in sacred rage ceremonies and these little moments where we can be like, I got to blow off some steam, whether it's like getting a punching bag or like stomping your feet or screaming into a pillow or doing this little bat technique is really fun.
Oh my gosh, I need to do that. Like, I don't know why I haven't. Sacred rage ceremonies.
Uh-huh. I'm creating I'm going to create a guide for it and I'll share it with your people. But now I know what I'm going to get you for your birthday that's coming up.
Some bats.
Yeah, a little bat.
Little baby bats.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I clearly need them. I actually like that better too, because I feel like one of the reasons I haven't done it is because I didn't know like where to go, you know, like where am I going to find a cliff, you know, to go scream in the middle of Austin, you know, like I'm not. And so I think that like is probably a really good recommendation. I don't know why I feel resistant to it. It's weird.
Well, because you're a woman and because you've been reflected back that your rage is not allowed and not accepted and scary and people don't like it. And so you've been quiet and mild and cute and for most of your life. And so we don't accept our rage either. And in fact, the first few times I did a microdose rage ceremony, I was shocked by myself and kind of like appalled. And then I was kind of like it. And some of the times that I've like, to your point, we need to use not only our throat, but our bodies. So like, the root chakra, our solar plexus, like that comes from moving our body and somatically moving stuff out of our fascia. But then our throat needs to have its time as well. So whether that's screaming, or I take my clients through, and I think I've taken you through it before, where you close your eyes and you verbally say out loud the things that you really want to say to someone that you know that their ego or their relationship can't handle. And you let your throat chakra, you let that really petty, mean part of yourself get it off of your chest. It releases the emotional charge around it so that then maybe you can have a more beneficial conversation that maybe isn't so petty. And yeah. So, yeah, I would say like let all of those aspects of yourself release this emotion and tension, because I believe it manifests as disease, it manifests as resentment, it manifests as fear and anger, and it will overtake your body.
Oh, totally, totally. And I think too, maybe for me, I feel like I always, to really be angry, I feel like I have to be justified in it, you know? And I feel like, I guess I feel like doing this, there's no reason behind it, even though there is. There really is. But it's like this feeling like, oh, no, I need a reason. Like, I need to be really mad. Or like, could I just walk in there right now and do it, you know, which I could.
I love that you just said that, because that is actually one of the things that is a block around some of my clients. Before I got the bat idea, it was it's a normal concept to put your knees on the ground on a pillow. And to use your hands like this and use your core and like hit the bed like this. And really it allows a lot to come up. And there's so much that will happen in these moments that we regulate ourselves with, or we manage them, but we haven't expressed them or addressed them. And so there could be 100 different things in your body and they're all stacking up on top of each other. And that's why randomly something will trigger you and you just go off and you're like, I just look crazy. Am I crazy? Am I bad? Like, then we start shaming ourselves and then that puts the cap on it even more. So then to say like, if I do these emotions, will it allow that big amount of energy to come up? And it will, it does. And there's so many people that are like, oh, I just don't get angry. And oh, that was so awkward the first time that I tried it, that maybe I'm just not a sacred rage ceremony type of person. And I'm like, you need to do it a couple of times. And I just love this so much. In fact, I have one client, I love her so much because she shows up consistently and does the work. And she is just so incredible. And she was like, so love and light for so much of our work together. And she's like, I just don't understand this whole like dark mother, dark feminine. And I just don't have any rage. I have so much empathy for people. And I'm like, start thinking about how we're treating the planet and about some of the ways that assholes have treated you. And she's like, okay. And then she like, yeah, it took her a minute. It took her a couple of weeks. And then now she messages me and like, I'm thinking I'm accessing it. It's awesome.
And then what happens? I mean, does it just move through you and you're better able to regulate just day to day?
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I feel like you're more embodied people feel safer around you because you're not rejecting parts of yourself. You are the full spectrum, and they can just tell by looking at you, because you're not just love and light, or you're not just like trying to stay in the middle. Like you are like, I am everything, right? I accept that I am everything. I am motherfucking nature. I am volcano to butterfly kind of thing. And that embodiment is really beautiful and really magnetic and allows people to feel safe to be that themselves. But also, it's better for your body. You're not holding on to that tension, and it actually allows you to access pleasure and bliss much easier, because you're not full up with like rage and frustration and fear.
Ah, that was my next question, about like the payoff in the bedroom, the payoff with, you know, orgasmic bliss.
Mm-hmm. And just life in general. Like, I noticed once I was shocked, and I could tell that it was like I was processing ancestral stuff, because I was like, whoa, this is a lot of rage for one person. Like, I don't think I've had that much go on in my life. And I'm like, oh, this is for the collective. I can kind of like sense it, or ancestrally, whatever you want to say. But yeah, I was able to be in a much better mood in general, and then just like be happier and just not feel that load in my system. And then I had the capacity for more too. So like, it wasn't the straw breaking the camel's back. I was a lot more with the flow, and I was also holding my boundaries a little bit better. I feel like it's hard to advocate for yourself when you're like so dysregulated. So if I wanted to speak up for myself, my voice was shaky. I was on the verge of tears. I was so upset about all of the times that I had been forced or not respected into something I wanted to do, that all of that came up in that trigger. And I was blasted back to all of those times, and trying to work from a place of advocating for yourself with all of that on your mind and on your body is almost impossible. So when I addressed all that and worked on it, I was so much more regulated that in the moment I was like, that will not do anymore. And this is my boundary. And this is me advocating for myself in a way that isn't me screaming.
Wow. Huh. I think I need to teach my kids that. I haven't taught them to do that at all. They're harboring some rage. I mean, they're teenagers. They don't even know what their rage is. It's just random. It's just a random rage, you know? Which we might still have in us too, right? Like just random hormonal rage that we don't even know what it is.
I mean, constantly. We're women, especially, we are constantly going through these big hormonal shifts, especially with all the disruptors and stress that we have. But yeah, I feel like we should be teaching everybody this. Everyone should have access to it, because I mean, it is hard, especially when our nervous systems are dysregulated and our kids come to us with their rage and grief. We're like, I am trying to provide for this family and hold it all together, and I have no space for your rage. And so it's like, cool, that's fair.
Yeah.
Go to your bedroom and hit your bed with a bat and then come talk to me, right? Like, we shouldn't be supposed to hold everyone's stuff. Like, we should be able to process our own rage and then come out to intellectualize it and articulate it from a better place.
Yeah, totally. And I had like five thoughts. Nervous system regulation has really come a long way. It's really having a moment right now. Like, I'm so glad.
I hope that it's such commonplace, because
yeah.
The fact, like, that was always my thing. You know, I've been obsessed with the brain for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why are we not given this, like, how-to instruction manual on our brain and our nervous system when it's in our operating system? It's like not teaching a kid how to drive a car and just being like, yeah, get in and go. It's ridiculous. We are not supporting people with the information that they need to be happy and healthy people. And so, yeah, I'm like rather obsessed with it. And I could also see why that would be annoying for a partner, which is like, before I was this crazy screaming mess when I, especially if I would drink or if I would get upset about something. And all of a sudden I'm like, I feel like we need to regulate our nervous systems before we consider like continuing this conversation. And it's like, what? Who are you? And what happened to you?
But no, it's true though, you know?
We do. So as a couple, what do you do to regulate your nervous systems together? Say you're in that, in a dysregulated space.
I love you. I'm so glad that you brought that up because I totally would not have. And there is so much that we're finding now about co-regulation, but it's not fair, right? Like, just because I'm doing a lot of work to regulate my nervous system and that helps you regulate your nervous system doesn't mean that you can use me as a crutch, right? And so it's like both people need to be there. And I would say that a lot of men are dissociated. They're like through alcohol or weed or their cell phone or their work, they're just checked out. And that's their way of not showing up with like rage and frustration. And that's not good enough. Like, in fact, that makes us feel very unsafe. When you're checked out, we can tell you're not there. And we get more in our heads and more worried, right? So regulation is, are you doing your work? Am I doing my work? Can we decide what a safe word is? Can we do breath work together? Can we say, hey, we need to walk out of the room together? And that's really hard for avoidant attachment and like the other, like the attachment styles that are like,
yeah.
If you walk away from me while I'm upset, that's abandonment. And the other one running away because that's the way they do things. Mm-hmm. No, we are choosing to step out of the room for a minute to calm our nervous systems, to do these regulation tools, and then come back in and actually address this and not just walk away from it, right? And so that's the thing, is like, you do your work to be in a more regulated state, to process your emotions, to emotionally be intelligent and to have the nervous system that you need to be in a regulated state with your partner, but ask them to do it too.
Yeah. I think, you know, both parties have to be in a mindset of like, oh yeah, I need to do this. This is like, you know, part of the work, part of us showing up and part of us expanding and staying conscious and really that's doing it for each other. You're doing it for yourself, but you're also doing it for your relationship. So getting both parties on board to recognize that they need the regulation and then actually do the work, right? Which is what you said.
So hard though, because if you come from a family that they were first, like their first thing was to scream and to yell, or you've been screaming and yelling in your relationship up until this point, it's so hard to deviate from that, like, default. But it is, like, are we sick of it yet? Are we going to, like, try something else? And having the conversation of what could it do for our health? What could I do for our relationship and our environment? And what could it do for our kids? And, like, really understanding that together is really helpful in then actually doing the work rather than just saying, hey, we should really do this. It's, like, why should we do this?
Mm-hmm. Like finding the reasons, right, underneath and remembering those reasons. That's a great point. And do you encourage people to write those down, or like have some sort of way of reconnecting with those on the reg?
Yeah, I mean, almost everything that I work with people on is like, okay, I know you want this, but what is that actually going to do for you? And how is that actually going to feel in your life? Because I feel like that's a problem with manifestation. It's like, oh yeah, I want $1 million in my bank account. And it's like, okay, what would that feel like? And what would $1 million actually do for your life? Like, what would you do with that? And then that's when you're allowed to go deeper and get more emotional about it and get a better vision on how you would save the planet or what you would do for your family or what your life would look like. Like, you've got to go so much deeper with this stuff and the visualization of what would it do if we did this together? Because it's like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, well, what would that do for you?
Yeah. Am I supposed to answer that? Because I would like to lose 10 pounds.
If you want to.
You know what? You keep talking about safety, but the word wild is so prevalent in everything that you do. So how do you reconcile that?
Ooh. I'm in with the good questions, I guess, Eve. I would say that safety is holding yourself and knowing yourself. And when you don't know the full spectrum of who you are, you don't feel safe with yourself. You don't feel like you can harness your power. You don't trust your power. And so that's definitely my place, is like, I saw my mom and other people not harness their power correctly. And that made me fearful of even holding my power or understanding my power. And so I feel like you have to let yourself find your edges. You have to let it out. You have to meet your rage and meet your grief and meet your power and come to terms with it before you can hold it in safety and groundedness and be authentic. And I think that's the thing, is we are denying so much of ourselves. And so then in our minds, it's so much worse than it actually is. Or when it does come out, it's really destructive. And so then it becomes this vicious cycle, versus like when we allow ourselves to be wild and when we get primal and when we process our emotion, we do get into a better regulated state that does allow us to be more peaceful and safe. And then I trusted myself a lot more, because I was like, oh, I'm pretty badass. Like, I'm like wild. I dare anyone to fuck with me, right? When I finally met my power, and it's like that sense of safety that I got from that was pretty cool.
Oh, I like the way you just turned that around. Yeah. your own wildness is providing safety because you know how to use it. That's good. All right. Well, what have we not touched on that you really wanted to touch on today, to talk about today? Have we missed anything?
I guess the biggest thing that I wish that couples knew about sex and their relationship and their lives is that they should treat it as important as it is. And that's the thing, is that it's so easy to fall to the wayside, and we're really gypping ourselves. And it's because it feels so foreign and hard and weird and scary. But taking the time to understand who you are and what you want, and that's hard, because we've never been shown that, and there aren't very many tools. But more and more, there's like erotic poetry or like audios for women, and there's like more pornography for women, and there's more tools, and there's more practices, and there's more women's groups, and there's more ability for couples to connect in a way that allows us to then find out what we want, and then know that we can vocalize it and get our needs met. Because like, that's the biggest thing, is that it's just so easy to go, oh, doesn't feel that good to me, I can take it or leave it, and it's like more work than it is pleasure, and so I'm just gonna never do it. And then you're like, so much energy, so much of your sexual energy goes into creation and goes into happiness and goes into power and goes into you manifesting in this world, that it's like you're really doing yourself a disservice if you don't figure that out with yourself as a single person, or with yourself, with your partner.
Yeah. It's I think that's really what I've been exploring in this series, you know, is that exact thing of just giving yourself permission to access that, whatever it means for you, and really, really be conscious about it. And I mean, that's what I've had to do in the last few years. And you have too, I think, right? Yours has been what? Two and a half years you've been doing like that work?
Oh my God, yeah. And yeah. I feel like psychedelics helped me understand how disconnected I was, how numb I was, how limited I was, and how much shame and fear that I had wrapped around my sexuality because of religious programming and because of past partners. And yeah. So at first it was really hard for me to even go as far as to be intimate and touchy with myself. It was more of like I needed to start with envisioning myself in a certain way, or processing some of that shame and grief. Mm-hmm. And so it's a journey, and I don't want people to try to do it alone, because I definitely did while I was using psychedelics, and it takes so much longer, and it is so much more intense, and it does affect your life in such a crazy way if you don't have someone pulling you out of the darkness sometimes, or reframing things for you, or witnessing you and showing you that you're okay. Like, you can have a much more beautiful and faster experience if you're actually doing it within community.
Oh, that's such a good point, too. I had you, thank God, you know, in the last however long I've been doing all this, 3-4 years. And, you know, just even before you were really doing the work and as trained as you are now, I mean, still just having someone that knew something, you know, was there for me when I was doing this made a huge difference. And so I would encourage people to do that too, you know, like, and they can access all your services, and, you know, you have a bunch of free stuff too on your website, I saw. And so, I mean, it's all right there. Like, you had a microdosing journal that was free. I think that's so cool. I didn't know you had that. I just saw it on your website.
Yeah. And I mean, and all of the women that you pulled together on this sex series, like, there's so many women now that are really getting passionate about what, how it changed their lives, that now they want to support others with it. And it's just so beautiful.
It truly is. And I mean, like, Leola and Sophia are doing these, you know, in-person retreats, and I know you do those too. And I feel like those are really pushing ourselves, and a lot of growth can happen in those. And I know that I've had a lot of growth in those, no matter what they are, just being there in person and being in that energy space.
For sure.
Yeah, makes a huge difference. Do you have any retreats coming up? What do you have coming up?
Yeah, I have one in Mexico, one in Jamaica. I'll be in London and Greece soon too. I'm going to really be a wild and free little bird for a minute.
Sounds so boring. Oh my God. Greece, there's a retreat in Greece?
I'm going to sit for a client, but I want to also look around there and find a cool place. But yeah, we're definitely going to be meeting up with women in London, and Jamaica is yoga and medicine combination. And then the Mexico one is like lifestyle design, like really focused on just a few women and really unpacking everything and coming up with a vision of the life that they want. So I'm really excited about that one.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. So well, is there anything you want to say in our closing? I think you said we didn't touch on know you're crazy, you know, know your brand of crazy, I think you mean. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say there are some things, like when you're trying to be conscious about picking a partner, it's like, I don't think that I did this as well as I could have, because I wasn't very conscious, especially at the beginning of a lot of my relationships, which is like, what are your values? What are your wounds? What does your crazy look like? Like, maybe understand all that before, especially before you move out into the middle of nowhere with someone, but also before you move in with someone or before you get married. I love how much people are reaching out to me now that just got engaged and they want to do this psychedelic work to like really bring the skeletons out of the closet together before they like sign up for forever. And I'm like, yes, beautiful, amazing. This is good, good, good. I'm really happy to hear this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I did that before I got in this relationship. I don't think I've done that before any relationship, but we have now. Like, for sure, we've done it within it. That's for sure. So, all right. Well, is there anything you want to say in closing before we go and before we cover out how everyone can find you?
Thank you for taking the time to listen to us and tell our stories. And thank you, Amy, for doing such an amazing job of pulling my story and my tidbits out of me. And I really hope that this is your sign to maybe go deeper into your sexuality and to maybe buy a mini bat and do a little rage ceremony.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm going to let you know how that goes. I didn't know we were going to have a whole conversation about like letting out rage, but I think that's so useful. And I love that it can reflect in like opening you up and getting that out, so you're more open to bliss. I've been reading that book you recommended, which is called the Tosha Silver book, which is called It's Not Your Money. And she talks a lot in there about cleaning things out and how that opens up more space. And I think this is a good example of that. Like, we can clean out those rage spaces inside of ourselves.
Yeah, the junk drawer full of rage.
Yeah, yes, precisely. Whatever's rattling around in there, right? Like, go ahead and get it out. And then you've got a lot more space for that good stuff to come in.
and flow through, which I'm really into. Okay. How can everybody find you?
I'm, active on Instagram, love Instagram so much. I haven't really tapped into the TikTok world, but I'm Mushroom Mamacita on Instagram, and you can always book a call to have a consultation with me to find out what's right for you or to ask me questions. And also my website now is mushroommamacita.com.
Good. And I'm going to put a link to all that in the show notes because there are some imitators out there. I know that. And people, I know it's so weird. And I just saw your post about it again the other day. So make sure, it's got a blue check mark and I'll have the link in the show notes so everybody can find you. And
I'll never message you and offer you a reading or mushrooms. So if you're listening and you follow me, it's almost like clockwork that the scammers follow anyone who just followed me and then message them a bunch of crazy things. So yeah, just be on the lookout. It might say Mushroom Mamacita and it might have some of my photos, but it's not my actual account.
Mm-mm. So yeah, good. Just to clarify that, it's so annoying. And such bad karma that they're putting out there. Like, you guys, I mean, really, but whatever. Everyone's learning on their own path, I guess. So, well, thank you. I love you so much.
I love you.
So glad we got to do this. Yeah. And you're just, you've studied so much and just listening to you speak, you're so knowledgeable and so wise when it comes to anything emotional and anything regarding healing. And I'm so grateful to know you and get to learn from you too.
I'm so grateful for you. And apparently your show is where I really spill all the tea all the time. All my big announcements have been on your show. And so such a safe, great place to come and to be seen and witnessed. So I love you and thank you so much.
You're safe to be wild here. You can just like, there you go. Yep. I love you so much. And I love everybody that turned up for this. Thank you so much for being a part of this and for the sex series. And there's more to come. And just, again, I can't say enough. I know I say this like every episode, but it's just because I really mean it. Like if you thought of somebody or if you have a partner, like listen, like share this and then be like, let's talk about this. Because then these growth moments, these powerful opportunities to expand really present themselves even more so. It's like using that voice. It's like letting it out. It's like that same thing of letting something out. So anyway, I could just go on and on. But basically, if you thought of somebody, share it, have these conversations, that is growth. And that is such a beautiful thing. So I'm so happy that you were here. Thank you so much to Bijou. Everything's in the show notes. So follow her at Mushroom Mamacita too. And I guess that's it. We have more in the sex series. Catch up if you haven't too. Bijou mentioned porn by women for women. We just interviewed Lily Sparks. And so that's out too. So if you haven't caught up there, it's fascinating. So I love you so much. And just thank you for being here for yourself. Thank yourself. Give yourself a hug if you haven't. Go scream in a pillow. Whatever you need to do. And I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Till next time. That's it.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.